What is a necromancer's favorite cut of beef?
Filet mignon.
Okay, well, what do you call a druid with a bad sense of humor?
Oh, that would be a very serious individual. Hey, did you two hear the one about the necromancer that was dating the twin sorceresses?
No, how'd that work out for him?
Well, it was just fine after he broke up with the more frosty sister.
The more frosty one, didn't they just pretty much act the same?
Nah, the other one was actually quite chill.
Okay, why did Diablo not want to call anybody after he got arrested?
No clue. Why wouldn't he want to get out of there ASAP?
He didn't want to post bail. What's Lilith's favorite part of her gaming PC?
I didn't realize she actually had one. I've got no clue.
The motherboard.
Oh God, that's enough of these. Start the show. Now, this is a story all about how Matt's life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just pet your cat, I'll tell you how Matt became the Prince of Backtrack. In Western Florida, born and raised, in his bedroom is where Matt spent most of his days, chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool and all, playing Nintendo outside of the school. When his homeboy called, who had a podcast show, said, "Join this site, give it a go." Matt wrote a couple reviews, then paused, took a crack, and said, "You're recording a podcast with Kelly called Backtrack." He called for an Uber, and when it came near, the license plates had cats in it and mice in the mirror. If anything, he could say this car caused a fuss, but he thought, "Nah, forget it, your home's to Kansas." He got to Kelly's house about 8 or 9, and he yelled to the Uber, "Yo, Holmes, just in time." He looked at Kel's kingdom, and he knew it'd be whack to sit by the throne of the Queen of Backtrack.
Hello and welcome to RPG Backtrack, your regular deep dive into your favorite RPGs. We are a production of RPGamer.com, bringing you such fine podcasts like RPG Cast, your weekly RPG news show, Q&A Quest, your weekly RPG feedback show, and us, your bi-weekly RPG nostalgia show. I am your host, Kelly Ryan, and with me, as always, my podcast partner in crime, the Mephisto to my Lilith, Mr. Matt Mason.
I am the wheel on the mouse that makes this podcast keep rolling.
Wait, you're her daddy?
Sure.
I tried to skip right past that
okay,
when it'd be your
all right,
thing, but
yeah,
you know.
All right.
I just named two demons, and Lilith was the only female one I could
all
think
right.
of.
Mm-hmm.
My brother from another podcast, Chris Privateer, joining us tonight.
The bail to your Diablo.
Yeah.
More accurate, but you know.
My bad. See, the story to this game made no sense to me.
Well, that's because you aren't following the deep Diablo lore from many years ago, as told in the Blizzard manuals that came with the game, more so than in the game itself.
Yeah, that had been a hot minute since I had read.
This is how we used to do game lore. Do you know why? Because the games are designed, then they fit lore into them, and then they write a manual that kind of ties it all together and actually has time to explain things, because they didn't put the story in games back then. So, yeah. Now they put story in games, and it turns out that everyone always has to give freedom to the writers, and this is probably true, but they have to give freedom to the writers to not be bound by the old lore, so they can create a good story on their own. And then now we have retcons and stories that aren't good that don't deserve having those retcons, but you know, whatever, that's an opinion. And I'm wrong. They killed Deckard Cain, and I hate it, Kelly. I'm still smarting on that one from Diablo 3.
Yeah, not having Deckard Cain in your story kind of makes it worse. And as much as I love Ralph Ineson, he's no Deckard Cain.
Okay, now, hold on. I like Ralph Ineson, though.
I do, too.
That's pretty good. Remember, do I have Deckard Cain telling me he can identify my items for free, or do I have Ralph Ineson reading me a phone book?
I personally prefer Ralph Ineson reading a phone book myself.
I think I might agree. Shoot.
If it wasn't apparent enough, we are talking about Diablo tonight.
Diablo 4. D4 bad.
Just when I thought that 3 couldn't get controversial and divisive enough, they make this one and make it even worse.
Do they?
And yes, it's a cozy show tonight. Okay. Because
I want you to know that Andy has just come into this and is trying to throw gotchas at me about Diablo lore. It's like, how does a witch know that you're Diablo if she didn't see you stab the crystal into your forehead? And I'm like, Andy, the crystal's still sticking out of the guy's forehead at the time. Like, this is not subtle. There's a wedge of glass in his temple. Don't you try to gotcha me on Diablo lore. I was there when the cow level was written or something. I don't know. Hi.
Okay.
I like Diablo. I like the story. I really disagree with some of the decisions made in later games. I really liked. What are we talking about? What stage of this podcast are we in right now?
Because we're still in the intro.
I shouldn't even be talking about these things. I want to start.
We should outro the intro and start getting into this. Yeah. Right.
I was going to say, breathe and collect your thoughts. And
I have a lot of thoughts, and they're mostly angry, and that makes me tired.
I'll tell you what. Let's let Chris collect his thoughts, and we'll take a brief musical interlude. And then we'll be back, and we will have the bitch session. And welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are talking about Diablo 4, released on June 5th, 2023 for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Do you remember the announcement of this one, Chris? It was announced on November 1st, 2019 at BlizzCon. And I remember them having to do like a content warning because the trailer was very bloody.
I don't know if you know this, Kelly, but the new game, it's going to be very dark.
It's so dark.
So dark. We want you to know how dark it's. They made so much effort and to do about how dark the game was going to be. And it was so silly.
Yeah, so like one of the biggest complaints about Diablo 3 was that it was too quote-unquote colorful for the Diablo aesthetic. So they walked that back hardcore in the sequel. Funnily enough, when I was doing my pre-show research, they said that they was inspired by medieval art, including Frank Frazetta and another kind of cheesecake fantasy artist whose name escapes me.
Should I know who that is?
Frank Frazetta. Frank Frazetta did a lot of album covers back in the day, including Molly Hatchet and stuff. Was really famous and did a lot of Conan art too, and was really famous for painting like scantily clad women.
Okay, all right. So he's that one. All right.
Yeah.
Now you know a lot of D&D covers.
Yeah. Now you know who I'm talking about.
I at least know the style. You mean?
Yeah.
80s naked low fantasy art. Yeah,
I think basically, I got that. Basically like artwork that your uncle would have on the side of his quote unquote bitchin' van.
The one that never leaves the driveway because nobody is coming a knocking.
Yeah. So, though I brought up the BlizzCon release date because supposedly this game was supposed to be announced the year before, and something happened, and they walked it back. Or they decided not to at the last second, and that's why that BlizzCon was so disappointing. But also, where the "Don't you guys have phones?" late season April Fool's Day joke came from. Which was a pretty funny meme for like 5 minutes.
They announced so many times things that weren't Diablo 4, and then they announced Diablo 4, and they were just obsessed with telling us how dark it was. And it's just, I was worried because the developers seemed more interested in how cool the artwork was for their game than they were in how good the game is and how it fixed any of the issues with the previous game.
Would you have preferred the original idea for Diablo 4 after the release of Reaper of Souls, where the codename was Hades and it was supposed to be an over-the-shoulder combat game similar to the Arkham series with permadeath and multiplayer?
No. You?
Well, that one, when that lead got left the company in 2016, that one was quietly shelved.
Oh, really?
I don't think that would have went over very well.
No, I don't. That would, why? That seems weird to me.
Yeah, just a tad. I found that in my pre-show research, and I thought that was a very interesting interesting tidbit.
Yeah.
A couple of big things about what this game brought new to the table. Has a huge open world environment, where previously the games were kind of divided by acts, and you know, kind of like, I know Diablo 3 had like a big open area that was had like many dungeons and stuff, and Diablo 2 had the acts, obviously, and this one, I mean, the map is huge. That, you agree with that statement?
I do agree that the map is huge. Yes. Kelly, why? I've never understood from when they debuted it to now why Diablo 4 is open world. Is there a reason for it that you can think of?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head other than perhaps them just having the space and wanting to utilize it.
The space? Okay.
Or having us as people having bigger PCs to play around with. So
I'm wondering if it just came from the fact that like open world gameplay is like just a standard thing now in like all the games, and so they felt they needed it in Diablo. Like what would be cool? What if we made it open world and generative and procedural and well, I guess it isn't procedural. It's just
the open dungeons world.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, Diablo used to always be randomized, right? And then you know, Diablo 3 came, and we have randomized, but from building blocks, which is fine because that avoids crappy dungeon layouts. And then the Diablo 4 comes out, and you fight the Tomb Lord in every dungeon. And it didn't feel randomized at all. It felt samey, and the randomizations were so minor that you didn't even realize you were in a different... And then that was combined with an overworld that nothing important happened in.
No. Didn't they add, like, world quests and stuff to that later?
Yeah, and there was some at launch, and then there was more later, and then they added the Helltide in one of the first couple seasons, and it was, and I don't know if I'm jumping ahead here, I probably am, but like...
No, we're talking gameplay for now.
Helltide was go out with your friends or with strangers and kill demons in the group and get lots of bonus stuff, like killing them over here, the Helltide in this zone. Like, okay, so the world's open, but it has like regions, and then certain region will be a Helltide for every hour, and then it'll take 5 minutes and a new one will start, and then whatever. So as you go, like, where's the Helltide now? You go there and you get more stuff for killing the demons there, and you get chests you can open that are only the thing, and when the time runs out and you didn't spend the currency. You can't open any more chests there. You go to the new one, you start over. And it gives you something to do and grind in the overworld if you don't want to like do dungeons, which you didn't because the dungeons all sucked at launch. So that you spend time in the Helltide. And then they'd come out with a seasonal event, which they would do something that's like the Helltide, but it's a different color and it's over in this other zone while this the Helltide's in that zone. And you go do the thing over there, which is killing things in a different way. And you don't have chests to turn in, but you get drops. And then eventually you climb up a scale and you get the max reward for the season. And then now it's at the point where people just ask, what color is the Helltide this season? Because what they mean is like, what's the seasonal mechanic color? It's just so samey. I loved Diablo 4 when it came out. I enjoyed going through the story and stuff. Like, I knew after 3 that I wasn't going to appreciate it like Diablo's story of old, but it's like, I can appreciate it for what it is. And then they had Cid from Final Fantasy 16. Like, this game and 16 were like coming out around the same time. So like, this dude was in two games and his wonderful gravelly voice talking to me the whole game. And it's like, I want to listen to this guy talk some more. And so they have him in this game and I'm like, I'm on board for going through the end of this whole story because I want to listen to this guy read some Herodric scrolls to me some more. And it was fine, and we had a wrap up, and it's like, okay, and things are not really resolved, and that's kind of crappy. I don't know why they did that to us. Some of the things are resolved, but it's not fully resolved. But okay, you know, there's an expansion. There's always an expansion. They'll wrap it up with the expansion, and then we'll have Diablo 5 in another 10 years or something. Okay, fine. I can live with that. And then the gameplay had no end game other than killing Lilith at level 100, super uber powered that barely anybody could do at launch. And then they had seasons to work on the game and add more end game, which is like the dungeons and the loot chase and complex builds and in order to get super powerful and things to do once you are that powerful, except they didn't have any at first. So very quickly the game went from Diablo 4, I know everyone's got things they like, things they don't like, but I think it's pretty good and it's got a lot of promise. It went pretty quickly from that to D4 bad. And it's kind of wavered around there because they keep humming up with seasonal updates that look like, oh, it's going to redeem it. And finally, Diablo 4 is on a good pace. And then here we are in season 9 now. And it's like, no, they aren't on a good trajectory. And we just can't trust where they're going with it. And it's like the core gameplay is fine. It's just like it's been years and they're not doing anything with it. And it's time to just admit that, like, cool single player experience. But other than that, D4 bad.
Yeah, I agree with all of those statements. I find myself not coming back to this one as much as I did Diablo 3. Partly because I think that the game isn't as chaotic as Diablo 3 was, and that's what I liked about Diablo 3 was, you know, charging into mobs head first and trying to get like as big of a combo or a kill streak as I could to get that big old EXP bonus at the end. And whereas in this game where it's like you go from point A to point B and you see a mob here and there, and then unless you're going by like a world quest event area, you don't really see a whole lot of mobs together.
No, that's true. Yeah, there were dead areas. Also, they give you a horse to ride on, and then for like the first 5 seasons, they put all these barriers that kept knocking you off your horse.
Yeah, not to mention like all the jumping areas and stuff that you can't, or the like the places where you have to climb.
So like you had an overworld where nothing was going on and they kept knocking you off your horse, so you had to walk a long way in the empty overworld that you can't even ride your horse to get through quickly. So it was like just punishing. And this is taking it to the extreme in the complaint department, but like this, so, you know, like if you didn't just play the game and then moved on, the game kind of just, it kept wearing on your soul. And then it's still there though. Kelly, I played the most recent season.
I skipped
a couple seasons, but not that many. They had an expansion, but we can't talk about that, right?
No, we can talk about the expansion.
They put out an expansion, Kelly. And you know what they did in the expansion?
What did they do?
They had you fight. So they alluded to the big baddie in the expansion being like the daddy of the lady from the first game. And then instead of fighting him, you fight his dog. And then after that, they tease like him possessing some dude and like, don't worry, the story will continue in the next expansion.
And they haven't announced that expansion yet.
They it's happening now or ish or around soon. It's called something of the something. Yeah, we're really close to that announcement.
Because GDC is going to happen in a couple of weeks, dating this podcast.
Yeah, so it'll be, we'll get info soon. I think it's called Herald of Darkness. Like, it has a name. Regardless, the expansion gave us a character and a new class,
well, we haven't talked about what classes there there were initially, because they brought back some classics.
Sure,
the rogue from Diablo 1 is back, even though for some reason I thought that was the assassin in 2. Or were they not the same?
Diablo 1 Rogue was more like Arrow Lady. I don't know that I'm gonna go so far as to call what the Rogue is in D4 the Rogue in D1, because like the Rogue in D1 is like the class you could use like arrows well on, right? And then
I never played D1 Rogue, so.
Okay, that's fine. Well, everyone played it a little bit, because the thing you do in Diablo 1 is you'd get a bow and you lock yourself behind a door and kill the butcher through the door so he couldn't kill you. That was how you cheese the butcher, unless you were lucky and you didn't get the butcher. But also, if you didn't get the butcher, then it feels like you didn't really play Diablo 1. So anyway, Kelly, the butcher hunts you down in dungeons in Diablo 4. They went from like, man, the butcher, everyone remember the butcher, to we got too much freaking butcher in this game. Like, we don't need this much butcher. Like, we get it. Like, the butcher, he's a Diablo thing. It's a meme. But, like, the meme thing that you're supposed to throw too much of at us is the cows, not the butcher. Just let the butcher be the butcher. Also, we've killed him, like, 3 times. How is the butcher still here? Stop with the butcher, okay? Like, he was a big boss in Diablo 3, even. Like, the butcher has... it's fine. It's just there's lots of butcher. They really shove it down your throat because they don't seem to know how to call back in gameplay. They only seem to know how to call back in trappings is what I've found with the Diablo 3 and Diablo 4 stuff. And that's probably because none of these people who made Diablo 1 and 2 work at Blizzard anymore. And like everyone is there, played these games growing up just like me. And it's like they're doing their best and it's not going to be the same, and I just have to get over it. I'm old, but you know,
yeah.
There's so much butcher. Like, it's just not Kelly. Not only is there the butcher, there's the burning butcher, which is the mean version of the butcher. Like, because when the Diablo 4 came out, the butcher would show up in your dungeons and kill you, and it was a real pain in the butt. And it's like, darn you, that's a good use of the butcher. And then now you get Diablo. Now that things have been rebalanced a bit, now the butcher is like too easy. So they have the burning butcher who shows up, and then he shows up and tries to kill you. And then I was talking about the expansion. We didn't even talk about the original classes. So we're talking about the classes. We got the rogue.
I said the rogue sort of came back.
Yeah.
Though in design, not necessarily in spirit, according to you.
So what do I know? There's a lot of knife and like non-bow play that I think is not original roguey to me, but whatever. So
the druid came back from 2, which I thought was a neat addition.
Yeah.
Because I did like playing druid a lot in 2.
The curvy people. For whatever reason, for good or ill, they chose that the character models for the druid in Diablo 4 would be beefier people than the rest of the character models, which of course are very lithe, traditional warrior body types, right? And then you got the fat druids, and I love it. I like having different representation, but people actually complain. I don't like it to be big. Like, shut up.
Well, of course people complain. It's the internet.
but it's what do you care? You run around as a bear most of the time. You don't even notice.
I liked my fat bear lady.
Yeah, right.
And
all you can do is bear and wolf. Which I guess is all you could do in Diablo 2, so it makes sense. And Sorcerer's back, which is like, again, a callback to Diablo 2 versus the Wizard or whatever that was in D3. It's the same stuff. Whatever.
So that's why I was confused. I was like, I thought the sorcerer was in all four games, but I guess
It was, I whatever. If I didn't tell
it's
you.
ostensibly the same, even though it's sorcerer wizard.
There are actual potential lore differences, but is anyone other than me paying attention to the lore? No. No one cares.
Like, as long as they have their lasers or their chain lightning, to me, they're a wizard.
Yeah. And like chain light, the laser disintegrate is like a thing that I think of as coming from like Torchlight. And I don't think it actually came from Torchlight. Maybe it came from Fate or something. I'm not sure which game did that first. But it's not even like a Diablo original. It's just like an action RPG staple now. It's like someone's got a spell that's just a beam of laser lightning that's coming out, and then you just burn enemies with it. And so that's the magic user now. So whatever.
I love that spell. Did we miss anybody? Oh, Necromancer. Necromancer's back.
Yeah, instead of being a add-on pack like it was in Diablo 3, we've got Necromancer as a
Base.
base. Yeah.
To me, they played a lot different. I don't know. Maybe they had changed it since launch or something. But I tried playing a Necromancer in this most recent season, and it's like these guys do not play the same as when I played them in Diablo 2.
Well, they keep rebalancing the classes in Diablo 4. But yeah, did you not play him in D3?
I played a little bit.
Okay, so I mean, in Diablo 4, Necromancer is the minion class, which is funny because Diablo 2's Druid was known as being potentially one of the minion classes, where you would have lots of pets running around with you. And not until like this most recent couple of seasons have they brought back minion Druid. They really didn't want the Druid to be that for some reason. They wanted them to be running around, shifting, and doing elemental spells. Like, okay, whatever. I just want to run around with my wolves. That's what the Druids wanted. So now they've got that too. So Necro is army of skeletons and big, giant, meaty, fleshy zombie golem, and that stuff is kind of what they're going for. Plus some other builds that have now shown up, like Blood Wave, which is like go press the Blood Wave button a lot and everything dies on screen.
And then yeah, Spiritborn,
Spiritborn,
which is the first 100% new class.
yeah. And so that's like your Diablo 3 Witch Hunter, and that it's like, or Witch Doctor, and like that's came out of nowhere. Like, there's a whole new thing going on here. And I'm sad you can't run around as a chicken like you could in Diablo 3, but Spiritborn, it's not the same sort of thing at all. It's just they are yet another class which has spell casting from this time from spirits. I feel like there's too many spell casters in Diablo 4. I don't get it, but
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in this most recent expansion that's set to be announced, they'll like bring back Paladin.
Yeah, so Paladin was in D2, and then they had, what do they call it? What,
The Crusader.
Crusader in D3, which was Paladin, but you rode on a horse and didn't have hammers.
Yeah.
Okay. People want Hammered in the back, though, and they want Judgment Aura or Righteous Fire or some equivalent thing where you run around and everything that gets near you dies. See if they add it.
They brought back the skill trees, though. From what I remember, they weren't quite the same as in Diablo 2. For one, you could respec.
So like respeccing didn't used to be a thing even in Diablo 2, and that they've sort of patched it in over the years. But like, yeah, skill trees. All right, so in Diablo 3 they got rid of the skill trees. In Diablo 3 they're like, all right, you got this many room for things on your bar, pick what they are, and then you can augment them. And it's like, okay, which kind of put a limit on how many builds you can have. And so they're like, we're going to bring back the skill tree. And everyone's like, all right, yes, skill trees let you do really weird things and take advantage of broken interactions and speccing half into one thing and then have an unintended effect as it binds with this other thing. And it's like, yeah, except the skill trees are all very linear. And like, you have your basic skill, your core skill, your mastery skill. And it's just, it's arranged in a skill tree, but to me, it kind of still feels like the Diablo 3 skill layout worked. Like,
Well, yeah, because your best bet is to search for like fire or bear or something and just pick all of the abilities that augment bear.
there is more to it than that now in Diablo 4. It's multiplicative. multiplying your damage buckets together. So it's not really just like enhance your fire. It's enhance your fire, but also enhance your vulnerability and also enhance your overpower. And then all these three things multiply together. And so you want to enhance them all evenly, because that gets you a lot more than just making one of them really big and the other two not so big. It's a lot of stuff like that. And then they have these paragon boards after you max out your skill tree that you start specking in there. That you can build in 8 billion different directions, but it's all stat things on those paragon boards. It's all like X critical damage or X intelligence or X vulnerability damage or more healing. You don't get any new abilities out of it. You do sometimes get some new damage effects, like things that work into the calculations from like legendary nodes on those skill boards that you have to invest a lot of points going over to. But it's a lot of like, you're not going to like hit something on the damage board and now all of a sudden you do like 5 hydras instead of 2, you know, and like, okay, that's a bad example for certain reasons in this season, but just forgive me on that one. People who know D4, like, there are ways to get lots of hydras this season.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, when I was doing like hardcore season stuff, I just pulled up the builds on Icy Veins and was like, tell me what to do.
Well, because optimizing the paragon boards is very slow and difficult to like iterate on, because they make so like, you go 1 to 60, the games, your max level has changed, by the way. I think it was like 100 at first, and now it's not, and whatever. Like, you do some number of levels, and you get all your skill points, and you pick your skill builds, your skill tree stuff, and then you just don't touch that again. That's not actually true, but like, in theory, you don't touch that again, and now everything's on the paragon board, but you can get hundreds of paragon points. And if you need to like change your build on the paragon boards, you had to undo them one by one.
Yeah, that was very frustrating.
It was ridiculous. And like, I think they made it, and then you could just reset all the paragon points. And like, but you had to pay money to do that. And same to respec your skill tree. And now I think it doesn't cost money, or it doesn't cost much money, but you still can't just like throw out this one board and reset it. Like, I want everything else to stay the same, but I want to change this one board that's like halfway through my journey. You can't do that. So you know what people do instead? They just look up a build of someone who has all the nerdy time to do all the math and puts a build up on the internet, and they just do what they tell them to. And like, isn't that great?
Yeah. You're the expert. Is PoE like that?
Yes, because the frickin' skill tree is so complicated and imposing. Most people need a handhold when they're first getting started with PoE. And even for a while afterwards, if you're trying out something new that you don't have experience with, once you are very familiar with a build or the style of build, like you get an idea of like, these are the, you know how you said like fire? Like there are certain areas of the tree that are like for the fire builds, you know, and for the fire caster builds versus the fire melee builds. Like, you get to know that sort of thing. And once you are at that level, you can start doing your own builds more easily on that sort of thing. Where it doesn't, so PoE also has like an end game tree that only affects your mapping, your end game dungeons. And that one's way more readable and understandable by just reading it. And that's the one where I'd like start with customizing that one. And then after more experience, customize your actual skill tree. Because it's imposing. But PoE, remember, PoE is made by really dedicated, if the people who are super into PoE came over to Diablo 4, I think it would be amazing. Because here's the thing, the PoE people, they have a program. It's called Path of Building. People have made a program to help you build your character outside the game. You're going to be like, well, there are plenty of character builders on the web for Diablo 4. But like, to the point where you can see, if I click this point here versus this point here, what's the percent difference of damage that I do? And like, that's the sort of stuff that PoE people have at their disposal when they're creating builds. And we don't have that for Diablo 4. So like, I think some of the issue is like, because the gameplay is not really appealing to those really hardcore action RPG math nerds, we don't get some of the tooling, I think, that would make the player experience for math nerds better. Like, I'm not going to expect most people want to interact with a second program, but I do. And that's the sort of goofy stuff I'm into. And like, I can't do that with Diablo 4. And that, I don't know.
I mean, that's sort of why I liked Diablo 3 so much, is because I felt like I really didn't have to be a nerd.
Well, that was an intentional thing they did there, but not every. So this is where we differ. Like, I think the reasons that we're not as big on Diablo 4 differ for the two of us, Kelly. I think you want it to be more casually friendly, and I want it to be less casually friendly.
And it's kind of hard to do both.
Yeah. Or maybe you just make it appealing to hardcore people, and then they make builds that everyone follows, and because they're still playing the game, they're there to support the casual people who also want to play. I don't know. I do feel I finally did for the first time in a long time in Diablo 4. I just this whole season I kind of like made my own build, and like I couldn't, you know, it wasn't the most overpowered build at all, but it's like that's a thing I can do here, and it's like it was nice to be able to kind of do that. But it was usually I wouldn't feel that confident about it in Diablo 4, but I finally got to the point where I felt confident about it with the Paragon boards, and I don't know, it kind of worked out. It kind of worked out. And so I feel like some of that's changing, I guess. Like, I feel like we're criticizing them that you can't do it here, but I feel like it's more doable here than it is in PoE right now, that's for sure. What are we talking
So,
about? Do you feel the game's dark?
yeah, I feel the game is very dark. It actually was a lot bloodier than I felt like Diablo 3 was.
Sure, I guess. I mean, because it had more blood on the screen.
Yeah.
But like the themes and what you were doing and the demons you're interacting with, I don't know that I feel like it was any more or less dark in those regards. I guess maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Tree of Heads. I hate that stupid Tree of Heads. I hate that stupid. They have this Tree of Heads. Here's the lore with the stupid tree in Diablo 4. Here's a Tree of Whispers, and you're gonna go there, and they can tell you anything about anything. But here's the price. If you get them to answer a question for you, once you die, your head becomes collected and part of the Tree of Whispers, and you will never know eternal rest because your soul will forever be bound to the tree, providing answers to other people so that more heads can be added to the tree. And there's gonna be a lot of heads on that tree over time. It's a stupid, evil, dark thing that nobody should be happy with, and everyone just kind of tolerates in this world, and it's like one of the forms of magic in the land, and it needs to be. I hate it so much on a conceptual level. I hate it on a ha ha ha, you asked a question, now you're bound to us for eternity. Like, screw you, you're just an evil demon like anything else in this world. You need to be burned down. And like I just don't like it. And it's just used as a stupid plot device. And it's like, yeah, I understand, but also I hate it. I hate
Doesn't
it.
it
Just lazy
give out loot?
writing.
Doesn't
Does
it
it
give
give
out
out
loot?
loot? Yes. So you, because you're the hero, you can do things and get benefits from the tree without having to pledge your eternal soul to it, because you've been found as a useful tool for the tree to accomplish its goals. So, you know, everything doesn't apply to you. You're the hero. And at that point, I'm like, no, we're done. You're not even trying to make your lore anything. I don't, stupid tree.
Let's talk about the story for a second, 'cause I read a plot summary and it's like I remember none of this. I just remember
Okay. Do you want me to
Chase.
try and summarize the plot and see how accurate I am? Okay. All right. All right. So there's a trailer demonstrating how dark this game is, and it's got these dudes in a tomb underground, and it's like, oh, we got to get to the treasure, we got to get to the treasure. And then like the dude you've been following the whole time, this trailer is like, oh my God, this is terrible. And it turns out that like the guy who led you down there has intended to sacrifice you all because he wants to summon Lilith back to mess up the world, because he's got mommy issues. He calls her mother, and they summoned Lilith, who's the daughter of Mephisto, back into the world. She's been Why she couldn't come back before is I don't know. They did something about so Lilith and is that Isariel? No, what's his name? Istanbul in Inchiban, Ichiban.
Oh God, I can't think of his name.
Yeah, exactly. So Lilith and Angel, and then so okay. So there's this giant bone in heaven that generates angels, and like this bone is Diablo lore is weird. And it's as the more they flesh it out, the weirder it gets. The point is, there's demons and there's angels. And for around the long time, that was all there were. Eventually, one demon and one angel got tired of fighting, and they got together and had babies, and those babies were humans. And they created a whole new world called Sanctuary. It didn't used to be called Sanctuary. It was just the world, but now it's got a name, Sanctuary, and that's where the humans are, and they're all descended from demons, and that's fine. And then in Diablo 3, we said the initial ones of those descendants were really powerful. They're Nephilim, and for some reason, you in Diablo 3 are a descendant of Nephilim, so you're really powerful, even though nobody else has ever been a descendant of the Nephilim, and that we just made that up for this game. But that's okay, because we're going to forget you exist in Diablo 4. So in Diablo 4, we don't see the Nephilim, he doesn't show up, and we don't know what's up with that. We just kind of wrote that to the side. This is another example of how we don't want our writers to be impeded by previous stories, so we just ignore them. Okay, great. So now in Diablo 4, you're just a normal person and you got a horse and you're in the middle of nowhere and you almost die. But like this wolf shows up and kind of helps you, and we don't know why. And all right. So, and then you can wander into this area and there's a church, and the lady in the church, like, you should go help this guy. And then they like, you wander in the thing and they're like, hey, here, can you go help this guy? That'd be really helpful for us. There's a dungeon. Go in the dungeon, help us. And then you come back from the dungeon. They all try to kill you because it turns out they've all been indoctrinated by Lilith. Who is Lilith? Lilith was that demon who had babies with the angel and gave birth to humanity. So she's called the mother, and she's been banished for forever because the demons didn't like that she did that. The angel didn't like that the angel guy did that. So both of them been banished for forever. And then stuff happened, and now because the trailer exists, this Lilith was summoned back into the world because we need an excuse for this game to happen. So Lilith is back in the world, and she came out really bloody and then formed skin and clothing out of her blood somehow. It's really cool that she can do that. So
that trailer was sick.
Yeah. Yes.
As in gross and awesome.
Yeah, both at the same time. So Lilith comes in and she's like, she can kind of like sweet talk people. She's got the charisma build. So she just talks to people and they're like, I'm going to do whatever you say. And people who are really weak-willed, they just go crazy basically and become fanatic and under her thrall. And it turns out she's got a guy she's working with. And that dude is the one who summoned her and killed all those guys in the trailer. And he's like, he's a Haradrim. Haradrim is the generic, like, we're the forces trying to keep the world safe from either demons or angels going crazy here. And it's usually demons. So, like, we don't like demons. And, like, he was one of them. And then he, like, read a book. And the book was like, hey, being evil's cool. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to be evil. So he summoned Lilith. And I'm forgetting some particulars of the story here because I don't actually remember why he wanted to summon Lilith. But, so he summons Lilith, and then their plan is, let's take over the world and stuff, and I'm going to get back to hell and take over hell and the angel. I don't know what she's going to do. She's going to take over things. So she's running around trying to get more powerful, and Elijah, Elphamon, what's his name? Bad guy. What's the bad guy's name?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. So whatever his name is, he's like, I'm going to get more powerful too and help mommy take over the world. So like, that's the thing going on. Oh, by the way, angel and demon, they had a breakup. Things didn't go well. All right. So I forget if Lilith dumped him or he dumped Lilith. I think he dumped Lilith because he got casted out of heaven and he's like, oh shoot, I really liked the restaurants in heaven and I want to go back, so I'm gonna like disown Lilith and they'll let me back. And they didn't really let him back, so now he's like, now I'm gonna start a cult on this on Earth, on Sanctuary, and like, we're gonna kill Lilith and then they'll let me back. And spoilers, they don't let him back. It's just nobody even talks to him. It's really weird. He's got issues. He needs to talk to people and he doesn't. And then they just kill him off and really, they melt him into a puddle. It doesn't make any sense actually at all. It's really dumb. So Inarius is just Inarius. That's his name. His whole storyline is dumb and it doesn't make any sense. Like why he feels the way he does. So anyway, so Anyway, they had a breakup, so this whole game is like framed around, oh, they're going to clash. And then we got the church with Anarius at the head, and we got the demon forces, Elijah, whatever the bad guy's name who summoned Lilith is, he's in that group, and they're gonna get stronger and beat each other, and then whatever. So let's put it on the side. In the meantime, you almost die in a cave. Wolf helps you. We don't know why. And then you meet Ralph Ineson, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, I sound really cool. Want to kill monsters with me? And you're like, yeah, I'll do whatever you want. Just talk to me some more. So mm-hmm. you do that with him, and you go to the town, and then he's like, go do story in these other regions, and then we'll get back together. And while you're doing that, you meet this girl, and it's like, hey, you're going to be the main plot point later on, aren't you? And it's like, yeah, but I'll see you in another act or two. All right, so you go and you do things that really don't matter at all, except you're establishing that this girl exists and her mom fell into the cult, and then you kind of rescue her mom but in one of those deathbed rescues, and she's like, ah, you're my favorite baby, and you're amazing, you've got this, you can take care and save the world all by yourself. So turns out she's a descendant of Herodrums, I guess, I don't know, and she's got her thing going on. Ralph Innocent's a Herodrum. He was friends with the guy who went evil, so like he's real bitter about it. And then, was he friends or was it his student? I forget. Either way, he's betrayed. So now you're gonna walk around sanctuary killing things on your horse, and then run into barriers and be dehorsed, and then have to kill things off your horse, and then you do that for a while, and then you go to hell because it's a Diablo game, so of course you go to hell. And I'm skipping a bunch of stuff, like, oh, right. Is this relevant? Is it? No, it's not relevant. There's some characters who's like this dude who's lying about his son, and his son gets taken by a demon and turned into the demon's... No, he gets possessed by the demon and comes back to life, and he's a demon from hell that you have to kill. So it's like, isn't that great? You killed his son, but he had to kill his son, and like the dude is sad about it, but also like... Now he's free to actually help you, so it's actually nice because he can help you. He's also Herodrum. He was friends with Ralph Ineson as well. So, all right, you have this band of merry misfits, which is Ralph Ineson, the fat dude whose kid died because you had to kill him because it was possessed by a demon dog thing.
Wasn't
whatever.
That Jim Cummings?
Sure, whatever. No. Oh, Donan is, isn't it? Yeah. He is. Yeah, totally Jim Cummings. Which was annoying because this was the time that Baldur's Gate 3 was coming out as well, and Minsk was not being played by Jim Cummings. And here I am seeing Jim Cummings in another game. I'm like, why aren't you playing Minsk? What's going on with that? I hated that. All right, so go ahead.
Because he got that sweet Blizzard money.
I guess. Whatever. All right, so now you got you guys. You're going down to hell. By the way, the lady who runs the church, she's a real piece of work. She's very culty, and she doesn't really understand that Anarius is the bad guy, but whatever. She's like very culty and she does a little dance, and people are killing demons because she's very good at dancing. I kid you not, that's one of the cutscenes. And then Anarius sees Lilith, and they go have a fight eventually, and he gets melted into Play-Doh because that's how you have fights when demons. I don't understand it. So you go down to hell, you kill lots of things, and eventually it's like, oh, Anarius was taken care of off camera by Lilith. That's great. So hey, Lilith, how about we kill you? And it turns out the wolf the whole time was Mephisto. Oh no, Mephisto is one of the big three evils. So Diablo is the one that keeps coming up in all the games. So he was in Diablo. Diablo was, you know, in Diablo 1, hence it being called Diablo. And he has brothers, Baal and Mephisto. They show up in Diablo 2. And Diablo 2, Mephisto is like very, I look like a ghost, I'm a ghost, and I've got a cauldron, and I've got a portal to heaven, and people go through my portal, and then so you kill him, and he drops boots called War Travelers if you're really lucky, but you're probably not really lucky, so you don't get the boots. So you go into the portal, and then that's the last you see of Mephisto in Diablo 3 because you killed him. So now he's been regenerating in hell for, I don't know, is it 60 years at this point? I don't know, however long it's been, 40 years. And And Lilith is like, the turns out what Lilith is trying to do is take over his power that he's been regathering. She wants to take it for herself and rule Sanctuary with that power. And instead, Mephisto's like, nah, I want you to kill Lilith so that I can be your problem in the future, but I won't be your problem right now. Isn't that a deal? Sounds like a deal to me. Isn't that the sort of deal a devil makes with you? Hey, I'm a devil. So like, you know, you kind of got to do it because she's worse right now, but I'm worse in the future. So you're like, everyone just says, hey, kid, girl, lady, you make the decision. I can't trust that Mephisto isn't telling me the wrong thing. And she's like, you know what? Yeah, it sounds like doing what Mephisto wants is bad. Doing what Lilith wants is also bad. So you know what I'm going to do? Something we've proven doesn't work time and time again in Diablo games. We have a soul stone that was, wandering around in the earlier acts. We found a soul stone and then we hit it with a hammer a few times until it was a usable soul stone. We took the soul stone and we jam it into Mephisto's power. So Lilith can't take it. So she's pissed at us. Mephisto can't take it. So he's pissed at us. And like that feels like a good decision, except it means that what's her name? Do we know the girl's name?
Nayel,
I think, right?
Nayel,
yeah. Right? Nayel.
I butchered that.
Nay. Nayel she's the hero of the story, really, not you. It's her because like you punted and didn't want to do it yourself because you thought you were being mind controlled by Mephisto, more or less, which is actually pretty aware of the main character to be like, okay, cool. Well, except now we've got Nael with the soul stone. And one thing that we know in Diablo games, a soul stone ain't never worked ever. Like the best soul stone we have working was Talrasha's soul stone holding, I think, Bale for like a long time by Talrasha's soul eternally struggling with it in a locked up isolated chamber under the earth. And that ain't Nael. So Talrasha was a strong sorcerer. Nael is a girl who accidentally touched a zombie in Act 2 and had to have her hand cut off. It's like really weird. That like, anyway, so she's got to take care of Mephisto's soul and that'll be fine, right? And then you go and you kill Lilith, who has really annoying attacks, especially in her uncapped form, but like, it's awful. It's a bad fight. I don't like it. But you kill Lilith finally and you win. And then Nael's like, all right, cool, peace. I'm going to go think about things for a while. And she disappears. And Ralph Innocent's like, yeah, I'm going to go meditate for a while. And he disappears. And you're like, okay, now what do I do? End game? Oh, wait, there isn't any.
Yeah, I remember the end game being pretty terrible when me and you were playing, because I played with you and beat the game with my druid, and like, wow, the end game gearing in this sucks. And that was at launch, or pretty close to launch.
All right, so let me catch you up on the expansion story. Mephisto shows up and he's like, yo dog, guess what? Like, yeah, you think you were doing it? You think you pulled one over on me? I pulled one over on you. I knew she wouldn't be able to control my soul stone. That was the whole point. I'm going to leak out and take control of her. And I'm going to just go crazy and take over the world. Thanks for helping me out. Peace. So he's just doing that to gloat to you. And you're like, ah, shoot, where is Nael? And Nael. And you're like, where is she? And the answer is, she's across a river. Like, she apparently, you could have just saw her the whole time. So you go across the river and you go help her. And she's like having trouble controlling the soul stone, and things happen, and you get the they bring back some old religious figure in Diablo history, Akatosh, I think, and like he's like, I'm from this region and I'm a spirit, I'm gonna show up as a cat for reasons that don't have any bearing in reality, but we've decided we want spirit animals in this expansion, so I'm a cat. So I'm also really glowy, and I'm a good demonstration of HDR, so isn't that great? So you run around and you do things to help Nael and get her back in control of her sanity, and then you're trying to stop the Mephisto. And eventually you have to fight a wolf who is the, like, because Mephisto's the wolf, right? So he has the Mephisto's herald, which is just, you're fighting Mephisto's dog, basically. It's Mephisto, but it's not really Mephisto. And like, you have Akatosh, and you're trying to, there's some stupid plot stuff at the end to like, See what we can do to like stop Mephisto, but it turns out we can't really stop Mephisto, and so we banish him to the spirit realm or something. I don't know. Or we what did they do? They did something with the Soul Stone. I can't remember what they did, because instead they have the ending, which is really dumb. So number one, Nayrel goes off again by herself, which is like, we've just proven she shouldn't do that, but she goes off again by herself. So what the hell? And then Akatosh, he spent all his power helping you defeat the Herald of Mephisto. So now he has no power left in the world anymore. He's in the spirit realm entirely. He's dead. He's like, can't help you out anymore, dead. And Akatosh's corpse, though, has been taken over by the Soul Stone, which I think we like put the Soul Stone in his remains or something to keep it under control temporarily while we research other things. Well, that was a bad idea. So now Mephisto has possessed the body, which was not decayed for some reason, of Akatosh, and now he's going to show up in the next expansion as like, it's basically like Jesus coming back to life. And so it's going to be really hard to talk people into him, into the idea that he's a demon, and so that's going to be a problem.
I imagine so.
And that's where we're at. The story's not resolved. Now we need another expansion.
Yeah, that story was all over the place in this game. Because like I thought that the story hook in 3... Sorry, I'm just going to keep comparing this game to 3. Like the story hook in 3, where it starts with the meteor crashing from the sky.
That was good.
And then you go and you turn it out that the meteor is a dude. And then it turns out that the dude is Tyrael.
Act 1 of Diablo 3 from a story perspective is a great setup, and then they go places that I don't like. Like killing Cain,
Femme Diablo.
Yeah, like, okay, now we're going to introduce to you a female heroine figure. Oh, but she's going to get possessed by evil, which, by the way, you just heard is what happens Diablo 4 as well, like, right? So it's like, this is just Blizzard has an issue of introducing side characters that are young women that are potentially like, love interests for main characters. Not so much in Diablo, because you can do like any sort of background for your character, but then they always get corrupted or taken over. See Kerrigan, see Arthas, see what's her name? Jaina Proudmoore, I guess, would be a more apt one from World of Warcraft. And then we have Leah from Diablo 3. And then we have Nyrell, who I guess hasn't been totally taken over, but she's getting at least the Tomb Raider reboot treatment with how beat up she's getting as the games continue to go on. And it's like really weird. So I don't know. Story's strange. Okay. Anyway, so you had the Tyrael stuff and in Diablo 3, and you like where that was going. And did you like the rest of it? Oh, right. You had Femme Diablo. Right. Diablo 3's thing is Leah turns into Diablo and can't be saved because plot. So
yeah.
Yeah. And then they have an expansion where it's like, oh, I'm an angel, but I'm bad. Boo. And by the way, most of humanity is dead, but it happens off camera, so you don't really notice. And Diablo 4 setting is that most humanity was killed and they're recovering. And yeah, who cares? Story.
I don't care what anyone says. Diablo's storytelling has never been its strong suit.
I felt that even when Diablo 2 came out, I felt the storytelling of Diablo 1 was better because it was consistent with the background it set up in the manual, and like they would tell you things and definitive things would happen to people, and you would find out more about what was going on as you went deeper in the dungeon. And then it's like, oh, that's what's happening. Oh, and then your character at the end of Diablo 1 did something nobody expected. And he's like, you know what? I killed Diablo, but right now, the way these demons work, if you don't control you can capture them in the Soul Stone, but we've proven that they just come back and get out of the Soul Stone. So I'm going to shove it in my head and battle with the Diablo to keep the world safe. Mm-hmm. And then like the last cutscene, you don't expect it, but you just see your dude go, and jam a crystal into his forehead and not die, and then put on a hood and start walking away into the West. And then Diablo 2 opens up with like, hey, what's that dude up to? And going from there, it's a good hook. And Diablo 2's storytelling doesn't have the same impact, but that's okay because the gameplay was so good that it didn't really matter that much. And it had really good music from Matt Ullman. And Diablo 3 at launch kind of didn't have that going for it, but eventually that game got really well refined and it became a loot pinata monster farming game that just felt good to play. So again, who cares? Like, well, I care a little bit that they killed Cain, but other than that, we get over it. And Diablo 4 has just never settled into one of those grooves for me, at least. So I don't know. Sorry. I keep talking and going on rants.
And it didn't help that I thought that Diablo 3's adventure mode was so fun, being able to just go clear objectives on the map to get huge EXP bonuses, and then you got the stuff from those objectives to get like keys to go into like huge loot dungeons and stuff, and none of that was in 4.
Well, they have an open world where you are supposed to be able to run around and just do things for XP bonuses like you're talking about, but it didn't hit or land right, and it doesn't work the same.
No, it doesn't. Sad to say. and then the big elephant in the room that this game is full of microtransactions.
It's got a battle pass, Kelly.
Yeah.
It's got a battle pass.
And that was kind of my initial trepidation about getting the game at first was the battle pass, because I don't really like battle passes. I think that they prey heavily on people's FOMO. I hate what time sinks that they can feel like being. And yet last Diablo season, I ended up taking part of one, not necessarily because I wanted to. I bought the cat microtransaction, cat pet. And I had a bunch of extra platinum, and I figured since I'm doing this season anyway, I might as well buy into the reliquary.
Yeah,
because they had changed it.
They changed their battle pass, and you're like, oh, that's gonna make it better. Now there's things where you can clearly just get by playing the game, which was true before. Actually, it's just they made it now it's a menu where like this is where all the in-game stuff that I don't have to pay anything to earn the rewards on this battle pass from, so it's going to be great. I'm going to do it, and it's going to be wonderful. And it turns out that they made the grind, in my opinion, take longer to get everything in the battle pass, or it feels that way in some regards, but also like they made it confusing and easy to buy. There's a bundle, and if you buy the bundle, it's the same as the old battle pass price, but you get kind of fewer rewards and some. I don't know how. Maybe you get. I've forgotten the specific math of the criticism. So let me say something that I can feel confident in. The battle pass went from being one thing you buy to now being four things, one of which you get for free, and three things that you can buy. But if you buy the three things individually, or like buy one and decide you want to add on the other two, you will spend more than if you just bought the bundle of all three together. And it's not made clear, and it's not, you can't just upgrade from one once you've already committed to buying one and then deciding, all right, I want the full battle pass after all. No, you can't do that. So it feels predatory in a way, and a lot of like, yeah, buy more platinum now. Yay. And then every time, so even after buying the battle pass to unlock these things with coins you still have to earn in game, when you go to unlock it, it gives you an option of like, hey, do you want to use the coins you earned in game to unlock this thing that you have the right to unlock now that you bought the battle pass? Or do you want to pay platinum, which is paid currency, to unlock it with that instead, even though you have the currency on hand to buy it without paying money? Like the fact they let you do that at all is scummy. The fact that they're trying to be like, hey, you know, you could grind it out in game, or you could give us even more money and have all these things unlocked right now. That's scummy. And then what else is scummy is that if you don't spend the time unlocking those things in game, the money you spend on the battle pass is thrown away because you don't get it at the end of the season. Unlike the previous battle pass, where at the end of the season, if you didn't have things unlocked, you still got it because you bought the battle pass. It's bad. It's worse. It's dumb. I hate it.
I, I thought on paper that they were trying to do it so that if you didn't want all of the things that you could kind of spend less to focus on what you wanted. But then on paper, you're like, yeah, like you are saving the money by buying all three of the reliquary passes at once. The whole thing just kind of annoyed me. And somehow I managed to get all of the stuff during the last season by just buying a little bit of the, like with whatever platinum I had left over from buying the cat, I somehow managed to get like the entire reliquary, and I don't know how the math worked out for that. Yeah. Because I was like, all I really care about is the mount stuff so that I can get like this cool Mephisto-themed cat mount and all of its armor and stuff. And then I ended up with the Mephisto armor set anyway. Or not Mephisto. What was his name?
Accurate or no, whose armor set?
The Belial.
Belial. Oh, from that season. Okay.
Yeah.
That was last season, not this season.
Yeah, my bad. So yeah, that's kind of scummy. And then just you go into that menu and it's like you see all that cool armor that you can only get via platinum, and it's like, God, this is so cool, but I don't like the idea of spending money on that kind of cosmetic.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet I will get a cat cosmetic almost every time, but I like, what can I say? I like my cats. And I have to admit that Lilith-themed cat that was for sale was kind of cute.
It
Plus, the one that you got for finishing the season was a little bit on the creepy side.
was weird. It was covered, it named Iris and covered in eyes.
Yeah.
She watches you.
It's like I already feel very judged by my cats. And my other sticking point with buying this game at launch was that this was a $70 game. Blizzard really,
One of the first.
yeah, because they were one of the first to charge 60 for PC games when they were hovering at around 50. I think that was StarCraft 2.
I don't remember at this point. I don't believe
Yeah.
you.
Luckily, QVC had a deal where you could, if you signed up for a new account, you got like a $20 coupon off of everything. So that's how I ended up with my copy. And then later that year, or no, later last year, they had, Blizzard had a deal where you could get the, what was the expansion's name again?
Vessel of Hatred.
Vessel of Hatred, yeah, where you could get the base game and Vessel of Hatred for like $40 on PC. So I ended up grabbing that. And like, what, now the game hovers around 50 and goes on sale for 20 like all the time. So that's that.
It's the game base game is on Game Pass even right now.
Yeah, and the base game was on PSN last year or last month. So I went ahead and claimed that. That way I didn't have to put in my disc again. So I don't know. It's one of those things that when I am playing, I'm having fun playing, but the metagaming of it is what sort of drives me crazy.
How so?
Well, like when I was playing last season and kind of getting frustrated that I would hit a brick wall, or I hit a brick wall at about Torment 3, and you were like, well, I mean, you need to look at your build and stuff, and then realizing that, yeah, I was doing this all wrong. And just the fact that I could do it wrong just kind of annoyed me a little bit. You know, because I am a very casual player, and the only reason why I'm doing this season content is because I want the pet that's dangled at the end. And it was just a little bit frustrating that I don't know. It's not like I wanted to face roll it or anything. It's just a little thing like not having the right enchants on my gear was enough to be such a brick wall. And I ended up, I went to a lot of the group finder and basically had people carrying me for some of those fights.
All right. That makes
And it
sense.
didn't help that it seemed like just some of that gear that I needed to optimize my build was just not dropping.
Yeah, so like how did this work? They added these Uber uniques into the game at the beginning, and they were very, very rare. And like to the point like you should not expect to ever see one at the current drop rates. So you couldn't really plan builds around them. But occasionally someone will get them and they were like, you know, it's like hit the jackpot style item. And then as the game evolved and they had to iterate on how building and how to make the game more fun and give you something to do at end game, they eventually made those games attain those items attainable through multiple ways. First of all, they made the drop rates much more much higher. But they also added some crafting systems where you could take, if you get the wrong drops, you get a couple of them, you could turn them into one of the things you actually wanted and stuff like that. So it gave you this thing where you could now grind for those items. But the game still has a tendency of being like, I know you want this one, so I'm going to give you the wrong one. And you're not going to see the one you want. And also, you need certain runes in order to do that crafting of the one you want. I'm not going to drop those either. So.
Oh, God, the runes. I was getting so frustrated at my build suggesting these like specific runes. And it's like,
eventually you have all of them, Kelly, but until you're there, it feels like you're not making any progress at all with your character. It's frustrating.
It's like, I think you're lying to me, Icy Veins. I don't think these runes exist.
And it's like, part of the problem is you need to have that stronger gear so you can do the harder content where the drop rates of those things is higher so that you can get them.
Man, it just feels like a treadmill. Like, I need to do this thing to go do this thing so that I can go do this thing. And I am in a never-ending loop of disappointment. But yeah, the build that I was playing, which was the Sorcerer Blizzard teleport build, was so fun. Teleporting into mobs and then just spamming the hell out of Blizzard constantly.
It's so weird when you have the spell Blizzard in a Blizzard game, because it always makes the conversation confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to level up Blizzard and then spam Blizzard. Like, wait, why are we spamming Blizzard? Oh, you mean the skill. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, I found it interesting when I first started playing WoW back in the day of how much stuff got recycled from Diablo. Like,
yeah, a lot of it. Yeah. No.
Chain Lightning. Mm-hmm. Blizzard. I don't know. So it could be some of that stuff is in D&D too. And
I mean, one of the things they did with WoW is like, let's take our RTS setting, but now we need to add RPG things into it. So we need to fluff out this magic system some. So let's take what we had in Diablo and go from there.
Yeah. Hey, build what you know.
Yeah. And you know, you had similar people working on the games and they all knew each other and it was smaller then. And now it's not.
So, yeah, but my final take on Diablo 4 is that while I enjoy the game, it's definitely got some flaws, and it definitely feels like a step back from 3, for me at least, because like we said, the open world feels kind of dull.
So I think they've improved it a little bit, but yeah, overall, I don't hang out in the open world, and it's just like, it's just not an exciting place to be. So one of the things they've been doing is adding bigger and bigger monster packs, but it's like, that ain't it, Chief. Like, that's an improvement. Like, it's a better reason to be out there. But like, if I look at all in the what's an effective way to level and stuff, like, it isn't that. And so why am I out there?
So that being said, putting Diablo 4 on my Steam Deck was one of the best decisions I have ever made.
Hey, Diablo 3 on Switch seemed like a ridiculous thing. And then you had it on there. And it's like, oh, God.
Oh, my God.
This is fantastic.
I couldn't put that down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had my little loot goblin right there. And then later when I figured out how to make my own NFCs, I had my little loot goblin card. And it's like every day. It's like a lottery ticket. Like, oh, boy, what am I going to get?
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah. These games on a portable system do work better, especially one like Diablo that's just kind of refined and a little bit more brain dead, because it's you can be very chill and play without much to do. I feel the game has been refined a lot since it came out to the point where the core game that they put out feels good. The problem is that's been the case for the last few seasons in a row. And it's like the game's going nowhere and it still needs to show signs of growth in the top end and some addition of depth. And it's while it has been refined and improved to like the best version of what like this game could be, I don't feel like it is hitting the same highs as Diablo 3 as far as its grindy loop of like, okay, is this fun to play over and over? Yes, because I'm getting rained in loot. Diablo 4, it isn't quite doing that. And it's, but it also doesn't have like something for you to chase if you're not being rained and showered in loot, because you have just this handful of chase items that eventually you get. And then it's like, you're just done. And the only thing to do is to push the pit, which is like their in-game never-ending challenge thing that you can keep scaling to higher and higher difficulty, but there's no reason to. And so I don't know what they can do, but it's like, I do think the game's like, you know, it's a Blizzard game. They do this. They refine it, and I think they do a good job of fixing a lot of the problems. But like at this point, it's like, I feel like I'm just doing the same thing over and over again. And it's like, I'm not getting anything new out of it. And it's a problem. Whereas like something like Path of Exile or Last Epoch will add a new seasonal thing that's interesting to interact with the whole season. And that makes it worth going through those motions again. And I'm not getting that in Diablo 4. That's my big problem with it. And it doesn't look like they're announcing things that make me trust that any of that is coming. So I don't know what to say about it. There'll be an expansion. I'm going to play that expansion, but it's like Diablo 4 is just like a lot of, how's it going to be this time? What color is the Helltide, Kelly? What color is the Helltide?
I honestly don't know. What do you think the next class is going to be?
This is where I feel like the rumors have already been out there, but I don't remember what they are. So let's see. What do I think it will be? People probably want Paladin, like you said earlier, and I think there's a good chance of that.
I think a good melee class is what seems to be missing.
I mean, I think that's what I would go for, but like Paladin is like another hybrid melee spell casting thing. So I don't know. That's really a good spell class or a good melee class. So like maybe people want, they already have this with the rogue, but maybe people want like the assassin from 3 or whatever, or what else could we go for here? We have
maybe the witch, not the witch doctor. Demon hunter.
Demon hunter. That's what I meant. Not assassin. I meant demon hunter is what I actually meant to say. Sorry. Assassin's probably 2, isn't it? Yeah. Getting confused again in my old age.
Demon Hunter was one of my favorite classes in 3.
I think a lot of that is in the rogue kit, so I'm not sure they're going to go that way. But yeah, that could be something. I think the Paladin's the most likely. I'm trying to think of anything else they could go for here, or anything new they could go for. Interesting that they've shown that they could go for, and I don't have anything. So it'd be like, just like the Spiritborn came out of nowhere, they could just do that, right? Like a completely new thing, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, technically the Necromancer is this, but I would like a dedicated Summoner class.
That is that's summoning that's minions, and that's Necro. 100%. They're not going to do another one of those.
Aw.
They've had so much trouble getting the druid to start working for that. And I don't think they're going to add another one to the pile. Classes where you have a lot of following things are hard to do, right? All the games struggle with them.
Oh, yeah, because of all the baggage on the screen.
They can become super powerful. They can be super weak. They can just... It's hard to get right. And, like... Not everyone plays them, so you're like really you're spending a lot of time on one class. Like that's I think you end up spending an inordinate amount of time on it, is the impression I've gotten. So I don't see them adding another one, but maybe that's a reason. Like we have the best minion class selection of all the action RPGs. That could be a thing. Like you stake your claim on that. That might be interesting. I don't know.
I wasn't a fan of Necromancer in this game. I feel like it wasn't nearly as fun as 2 or 3.
See, and you've played after they fixed a lot of it, so I'm not sure what to say there. Like,
I don't know. Maybe it was a me problem.
No, but it still feels different than the other games. I'm saying I'm not sure they can fix it for you at this point.
is just being able to have a bunch of skeletons and then hit things with bone spikes. Felt so good in the other games, and it did not feel good doing that as a seasonal character.
I wonder if we just need to find the right build for you on that.
Yeah, that's true. I did have fun with Sorcerer this time around. I did Hydra
Sorcerer this most recent season. That was pretty cool because I was able to do that thing you described where I just look for all the fire skills and check fire. Mm-hmm. but in this season it worked out.
I was disappointed there wasn't a good lightning build that season that I played.
I think the lightning build for that's the other thing with Diablo 4 is like there's only certain skills that really work for end game, and it's not all the skills you can choose on that tree, which is another reason the skill tree feels like deceptive. The lightning skills need to be like, it's weird how you do the lightning skills. It's like multiple things that you got to put together along with ball lightning. There's a ball lightning build, but it's not like lightning bolts. It's like things spinning around you sort of lightning. It's things, just things.
Because chain lightning was so fun. I think we're ready for the round table.
I think so too.
Unless we want have anything else we want to talk about.
No, I'm just really depressed now thinking about Diablo 4 and how it could be and how, but where it is.
Yeah, I feel you. Maybe we just need to, when I was looking today at the prices, I was like, oh, all four games are on the Battle.net launcher. That's actually kind of fascinating.
Oh, Diablo 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't they have like Diablo 1 on, whatever, we're at the end of the show, but like they had Diablo 1 on good old games for a while, right? So that was a thing.
Well, look on the bright side. At least it's not Immortal.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to talk about Immortal.
You played Immortal, didn't you?
I did. And I think it was a better experience in some ways than early Diablo 4 was. But also, as soon as you finish a story in that game, a story which still has Deckard Cain, by the way, before you finish the story in that, but after you finish the story in that game, it becomes complete free-to-play garbage. And it's just so disappointing.
Yeah, I heard that game is very pay-to-win.
Yeah.
Shame.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we have a brief musical interlude and then we'll come back with the roundtable and wrap things up.
Great. Let's do it.
Welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are now getting into the roundtable, our personal thoughts, our feelings, our favorites, our least favorites. I don't even know if I could ask this question this time around. Did you have a favorite / funniest moment from the game?
Oh, this is that part of the show. What was the favorite funniest part show? I probably did, but like I've been worn down with seasons of grinding and complaining about endgame. Can I remember any of the story moments enough to have joy from them?
I do remember going into I think the it was a big fight with a guy in the center and he was using his tentacle arms to sweep at you, and I'm blanking on the name. This was during the season that I was playing recently, and I had been really OP at that point and was, just marching in and just obliviating things. And then tried to do that with that particular boss and just got one-shotted. And was like, I don't know what I was thinking. I should have seen that coming when it's a boss that's that big, that has an arena that clearly is meant to have you dodge things. Yeah, because I think I was in a group and I did that, and basically we were Jenkins'd into the fight, and died immediately and felt so dumb. So I'll bet that was pretty funny to the people that were watching. It doesn't have to be a story moment. It could be a moment where you did what I did.
Oh, I'm bad at this. There's a dumb moment in the game where, oh, you know what? They added this cool character who's not my favorite character, so I'm going to use it here. But you find this kid in the expansion who's half demon, half human. And like they do this reveal about like, oh, there's a demon child, there's a thing, and then you realize, oh, the kid's actually alive and around here and we need to help him, and you help him, and then he joins you as one of your followers who can be like your companion buddy. And I think he's one of the coolest models, and he's got like a cool attack set and stuff. And I think that was nice that they added him. And and then he feels like he doesn't belong in your band of merry men, but like you're like, no, you do. You hold your own, you're good. And like, yeah, so everyone supports him. So I like him. But then I'm going to tell you my favorite character, and that's Ralph Ineson, because he talks so good.
I mean, obviously, Ralph Ineson is...
What's his actual name?
I mean, that's the actor's name.
No, what's the
character's name? Oh, the character's name? Oh, we're the opposite. Lorath Nahir.
Yeah, Lorath. Yeah.
Though, I will say, one of the companions I got recently was this kind of berserker lady who,
yeah,
I can't remember her name either, but her That's little conversations name. With you were kind of funny because she's not all there.
No. But she's one of your mercenaries, and she's the one who collects meat for everybody. And her name is Varyana, and she's strange. I like Suba though, because he puts all the monsters on your mini map, which is useful. But Ald here is the goat, half goat demon kid person guy I was talking about, and I just think he's cool.
Yeah, because my build recommended Berserker Lady.
No, I don't want to go into this. There's a lot of the builds never agree on who these hirelings should be, but everyone has very strong feelings that their recommendations are the correct ones, and it just strikes me as people being a bit overly zealous in their recommendations for which hirelings you should have, which mercenaries. What's your favorite class, Kelly?
In this game, druid.
So I play druid a lot. I agree. I like that one. I feel like my favorite class is actually sorceress, but like, I never play it because I feel like I play that in all the Diablo games. So I don't know. I feel weird about that. Like, my favorite class, why don't I play it?
Part of my problem with playing sorceress in all Diablo games is that this is going to sound stupid, I almost feel too powerful playing sorceress.
I got news for you. That was not the case for a long time with sorcerer in Diablo 4.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oof. Because, being able to do charge your laser and kill things instantly with your ice lasers just kind of takes a little bit of the fun out of the game. And
yeah, well, then they stop dying when you get to high enough level. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, I'm not all powerful.
But druid, bear form, I feel very tanky and very strong because of it.
Mm.
And I like having a bigger character as my personal character because it felt like I was the bear. I forgot to mention, I like the transmog system in this game. It's very intuitive.
It is pretty good. It can get... once you start collecting a lot of things, like most transmog systems, it becomes hard to sort through them and find what you're thinking of because you just have these tiny little pictures you can barely see the differences between.
Mm-hmm.
You have hundreds of items in there. It's like, I don't know what I'm sorting through.
Yep. And then do you have any memories tied to this game?
Was this a COVID game? When did this come out?
2023.
No, it was not a COVID game. No, my memories are like, man, it's the Final Fantasy guy, but he's in this game. And then the beginning of the great debate of, is D4 bad? Is it bad? Is D4 bad? D4 bad? D4 bad?
Because my memory is playing with you, going to the story mode.
Nice.
Finally letting that PSN account do something and maybe play multiplayer with somebody.
We mentioned it was crossplay from the beginning?
No, we did not. That was awesome. Because weren't you
Yeah.
playing on your Steam? Were you, oh, no,
I
you
was
were
playing
playing
on
on.
PC.
Yeah, and I was playing on my PlayStation. Cross play and cross save.
Yeah, you just log into your account and keep playing. Hell, now the expansions come out. Like I didn't buy the expansion on PlayStation because I wasn't playing it enough to justify buying it twice. But if I can still log into my character and play my current character, as long as it's not the expansion class, I can play that character. I just can't go to the expansion zones. But they've kept the game such that you can get to max level and do end game stuff even without going to the expansion zones, which simultaneously makes it so you don't need the expansion for anything, but also you it kind of makes the expansion not mean as much. So yeah, I guess it's a good thing overall. Like, so I can cross play even though I don't have the same level of expansions on both devices, which is cool because you can't do that with like Final Fantasy 14, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, I had to wait by Dawn Trail, or wait until Dawn Trail pretty much wrapped up all the expansions into one bundle to finally be able to play on PS3. Because otherwise I would have had to like spend a bunch of money on,
PS3, huh?
or PS5, sorry.
Like, man, I don't think I want to play 14 on PS3. That'd
No,
be bad.
I played 14 on PS3 back in the day and then realized that I hadn't played since
Is it
PS3.
on PS3? Man, that
Yeah,
game's been out for a while.
Realm Reborn came out on PS3,
Oh, right. Yeah, no,
2013.
bad. Can you Final Fantasy 14 1.0 on PS3 is even worse than the current game on PS3 in my mind.
They didn't even release the console version, I don't think.
Okay, well that's good then. That's good then.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I played
Realm
Realm
Reborn is
Reborn.
fine then. Yeah, right. I keep forgetting Realm Reborn is the good one. That's why do I do that? That's some reason I've quit. Why are we talking about the okay. Diablo 4, best memories was
Well, yeah, we got to talking about it because of crossplay.
yeah, I'm actually beating myself like, why do I never have good memory stories for these things? Was there anything cool going on at the time of Diablo 4? It would have been, nope, it's not a job thing. It's not a, no, I was just like trying to decide between this and 16. Man.
Yeah, because I had finished 16 and then I can't remember what I played after that, but then went right to this. It was pretty fun.
Yep.
Well, I do believe that's a show. I'm
I think
sorry.
it's a show. Yep.
I'm sorry you can't remember playing with me.
Hey, I do remember playing with you, but I can't just use that as my. That was my favorite moment as well.
Yay. For our next show, I'm pretty sure you played this, Chris. We're
Oh.
doing Baldur's Gate 3.
I never finished
Oh, you
Kelly.
never finished it.
I don't know why. I've
Because there was
gotten.
so much to do.
It's true. And I thought I actually reinstalled it lately. I was going to go and finish it, I think. I got distracted with sumo wrestling. Things are going on in my life, Kelly. I
I
don't
know.
understand.
I had fully planned on doing a replay on my new PC, and I wanted it to be go a little bit faster, so I was gonna mod the hell out of it, and then never got around to it because I wanted to try the dark whatever it is,
The Dark Urge.
the Dark Urge. But yeah, I just never got around to it, and it
Kelly,
sucked.
my YouTube is all like, what if you do this in Baldur's Gate 3? Because I watched one video and now it's all it recommends to me.
Yeah, because I was watching compilations of so and so's funniest moments, like watch Asteron be sassy for 30 minutes, and it's like, yep, this is amazing. And I mean, I've played, I guess me playing Skyrim was, well, no, even like playing Diablo was technically my first CRPG. Put it this way, I am normally not a CRPG person because I get very overwhelmed very easily, and I could not stop gushing about Baldur's Gate 3.
Well, let's not do it on this show. You got to do it on
No,
the next show.
I don't want to burn too much material, but just I think it's going to be a fun show because we're going to talk about who we dated and what kind of decisions we made, and it's just it,
And
I
what the
will
squirrel looked like when you were doing the thing with the bad
with
with the
the
bear.
bear. I wonder if I need to title that episode Naughty Naughty Bear.
Naughty Bear.
But
okay.
I think it's going to be an excellent time. I love games where you can play the exact same game and have a completely different experience than somebody else that played it, and you get to talk about it.
And then you get to feel bad and play it again, and then you got to play it 14 different times.
And then you're like, wait, it's possible to win the fight in Act 2?
Yep.
Because I messed that up.
Oh, it sure is. I kept reloading save files till I figured that out. Because so, I can't accept the consequences of my actions the first time around.
Oh, I saved scum the hell out of that game too. Don't feel bad.
Now, that's your preview for Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes, it's going to be excellent. So tune in a pair of weeks. And before we leave, I just want to thank Matt for silently hanging out.
Thanks, Matt.
I know Diablo isn't your cup of tea, but thanks anyway for hanging. We do appreciate it. And of course, thank you, Chris, for coming on. I know you said you weren't thrilled, but you got into talking about it pretty well.
Listen, if there's one thing someone like me, a really, really addicted action RPG player, can do, it's ranting about the action RPGs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like me ranting about the Skye games.
And you know, all that stuff I played, you can find someone else who rant just as much and like with opposite opinions on a lot of it. That's the best part. And that's why we can't have anything good, because none of us can agree on what good looks like.
Yeah. And of course, thank you, listener, for hanging out with us. To tune in a pair of weeks where we're going to talk up Diablo, or not the Diablo 3,
Baldur's Gate 3.
So tune in for that and have a great rest of your week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.